This is Fresh Air. I love to hear great composers sing their own songs. I've just heard the late Frank Lesser sing for the first time, and you're about to hear him too. Lesser wrote the scores for Guys and Dolls, The Most Happy Fella, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. When he wrote his shows, he made demo recordings to demonstrate to the cast what the songs sound like. There's a new CD of those demos. My guest is the archivist who discovered the demos and produced the new CD. Joseph Weiss is the copyright manager of Paul McCartney's publishing company, which acquired Lesser's publishing company in 1979. Along with this acquisition came hundreds of unindexed tapes. Weiss is also the McCartney company's resident music theater expert. He listened to the tapes and discovered to his delight some of them featured Lesser himself. Lesser is the first voice you'll hear on this version of Fugue for Tin Horns from Guys and Dolls.
I got the horse right here, her name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do. This guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do, can do.
Are you crazy? I'm picking Valentine, 'cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9.
But look at Epitaphy, where's it by a half? According to this here and on telegraph, I tell you, Epitaph.
Valentine,
I got the horse right here. Now just a minute, boys, I got the feed box noise. It says the great-grandfather was equipoise.
For Paul Revere I'll fight, I hear his foot's all right. Of course
this guy says the horse shows
red last night.
I tell you, Epitaph,
Paul Revere,
I got the horse right here.
Joseph Weiss, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Do you know who we've been listening to with Frank Lesser on Fugue for Tin Horns?
Well, there are two other vocalists on that track. The male is Milton DeLug, who is well known, or has been well known for several decades. He was a co-writer of Frank Lesser's. He's the co-writer of three popular polkas with Frank Lesser, and also was a musical director of The Tonight Show for several years. And the other vocalist is Sue Bennett, a name that was not known to me until recently when I spoke to Mr. DeLug, and he identified her.
So tell me what the experience was like the first time you found one of these Frank Lesser demo recordings and you put it on and heard it.
It's a very hard thing to explain, not only because of how great the recordings themselves are, but because of how I feel about Frank Lesser. It was very exciting experience, and it was immediately satisfying. The first time that I heard his voice, I wasn't even sure it was his voice. It was a guess, because it was one of his songs. I honestly don't remember now which one it was. But it was clearly not a commercial singer, and it was just that interesting voice with a piano. There are, I'd say, five geniuses in musical theater whose names always come up when we talk about the creation of American musical theater. And they are George Gershwin, Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, Irving Berlin, and Cole Porter. And I always feel that there should be a sixth name in there, that Frank Lesser's name belongs in that group. And there are a few reasons it probably doesn't show up there. One of them is that his output for Broadway was only five scores, and it only spanned 15 years. And that he's actually a later writer than the rest of them. He wasn't there for the formative years, which all of the others were. And he also wasn't excessively self-promoting, which is not to say the others were, but that had he chosen to do so, I think his name could have become a household word just like the others.
Well, one of just the revelations of this record is listening to Frank Lesser sing Sue Me from Guys and Dolls, and this is a different version of it than you'd hear on any of the cast recordings or in any of the shows. Do you want to describe what's different about it?
Yes. Well, two things are different. One is that it's not a duet, which is the way the song is done in the show. And it also has a verse which isn't used in the show. And it's a very sweet, low-key, subtle as far as the comedy is concerned, version of the song. It's not only done this way on this demonstration recording. It was actually published this way at the time Guys and Dolls opened on Broadway, and there were recordings by other artists in this style.
Now, in the original cast recording, Sam Levine sang the part, or played the part, I should say, yeah. of Nathan Detroit. That's the same part that was played by Frank Sinatra in the movie. And Sam Levine couldn't sing, so he just kind of, like, brays this song. You know, he just kind of hollers the song, whereas Frank Lesser sings it as a lovely ballad with really kind of funny lyrics.
Yes.
Why don't we hear Frank Lesser singing Sue Me?
So you're all the time right, and I'm all the time wrong. So my character's weak, and your character's strong. So your brow is so high, and my brow is so low. Well, brow, schmow, I'm close to you now. And all I can tell you is, oh, go sue me, sue me. What can you do me? I love you. Give a holler and hate me, hate me. Go ahead, hate me, I love you. All right already, I'm just a no good Nick. All right already, it's true, so new, so sue me. Sue me, what can you do me? I love you.
That's the late composer Frank Lesser singing his song Sue Me from Guys and Dolls. Lesser wrote the score. This demo recording is featured on a new album called An Evening with Frank Lesser that was produced by my guest Joseph Weiss. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Joseph Weiss, who works with Frank Lesser's publishing company and the Frank Lesser Archives, and Weiss has put together a new album of Frank Lesser's demo recordings of his own scores. It's called An Evening with Frank Lesser. And Lesser composed the music for such shows as Guys and Dolls, The Most Happy Fella, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. You got these Frank Lesser demonstration discs just in a kind of bundle, I guess. How come do you think they weren't taken better care of?
Well, I think the reason they weren't taken better care of is that, to a large extent, I don't think the people who were handling the catalog for several years realized that that's what was there. The way discs and tapes of this kind are often marked would be as simple as a label that says, Luck Be a Lady. And there would be hundreds of discs marked Luck Be a Lady in a catalog like that. And most of the time, they'd identify the artist. On a demonstration disc, the artist is rarely identified, whether it's a commercial singer or the original composer. So I don't think that anyone neglected material because they didn't care, but just because it wasn't obvious that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that made it such a pleasure to play through the material, was that if I picked up a disc that said Luck Be a Lady and dropped the needle on it, I didn't know if I was going to hear just another reference dub of the cast album or if the voice that came over the speakers was going to be the genius who wrote the song.
What a thrill this all must have been.
It was. It was. The period, it was about 10 years ago that all of this took place, that my playing through the recordings took place. And I was fairly new to the music business at the time. And it was an incredible experience for me. It was, now it occurs as a very sweet, romantic period for me to be new to the business and yet have the privilege of listening, and listening alone in the late hours of the day, to material that probably hadn't been heard by anyone for decades.
Here's another song from the album that Joseph Weiss produced of Frank Lesser's demo recordings. This is I'll Know.
I'll know when my love comes along. I'll know then and there. I'll know at the sight of her face, how I care, how I care, how I care. And I'll stop and I'll stare, and I'll know
long before we can speak, I'll know in my heart, I'll know, and I won't ever ask, am I right, am I wise, am I smart, but I'll stop and I'll stare at that face in the throng. Yes, I know when my love comes along.
Do you know the occasions in which Frank Lesser sang? Did he only sing to make demo recordings, or did he ever perform?
No, definitely not only to make the demo recordings. He used to perform frequently at parties with his first wife, Lynn Lesser. And in fact, the song Baby, It's Cold Outside, which is one of his greatest songs and won the Academy Award, was originally done by him and his wife at parties.
My guest is Joseph Weiss, the archivist who produced the new CD, An Evening with Frank Lesser. More in 60 seconds. This is Fresh Air. There's a new CD featuring demo recordings of composer Frank Lesser performing the songs he wrote for the shows Guys and Dolls, The Most Happy Fella, and How to Succeed. My guest, Joseph Weiss, is the archivist and copyright manager who produced the new CD. So how were you first introduced to the music of Frank Lesser?
Oh, that's a good question for me. I was first introduced to the music of Frank Lesser at exactly the same time that I first knew that musicals existed, that they were written by one person or a team of persons for the intention of putting on a show. When I was in the fourth grade, we had a music class, and a teacher came in one day with three cast albums, The Sound of Music, The Music Man, and Guys and Dolls. And she explained to us how musical theater operated in New York, and at least on the level that a fourth grader could understand. And so at exactly the same time, I learned what musical theater was, and I heard Fugue for Tin Horns.
Well, I could see why the Frank Lesser record would have really stood out among those three.
Well, they were all pretty striking because we heard the train sequence from The Music Man.
Uh-huh.
And then the teacher described to us exactly how these numbers looked in the show, which made a big difference. It made an enormous impression on me. From that day on, I was fascinated by musical theater.
Did you live near New York? Could you see Broadway shows?
I lived in upstate New York, so it was about a 2.5-hour trip, and I had never been to New York, and I never did get to New York until I was 18.
So for a long time, musicals were about the cast recordings.
Yeah, absolutely, and what I could read. I started trying to arrange to get the New York Times every Sunday, which wasn't easy where I was growing up, and I just began looking for anything I could that was going to tell me what that was about.
Now, how did this lead you into the business of music copyrights?
Well, almost accidentally. I moved to New York with no intention as far as what my career would be, and I didn't even understand what music publishing was all about, as most people don't. And it simply was that as a result of the music I was interested in, I once got into a conversation with someone who happened to have a stack of interesting sheet music in front of him. And it turned out that he worked at MPL Communications, and within a matter of a couple of years, I was working there also.
You know, tell me if I'm wrong, doesn't Michael Jackson owns... Who did Michael Jackson buy copyrights from music? Did he write... Why am I thinking about Paul McCartney copyrights?
Okay. What Michael Jackson...
Beatles copyrights.
Exactly. What Michael Jackson purchased was the old... Lennon-McCartney catalog.
Does this make any sense that Paul McCartney owns the copyright to Frank Lesser and Michael Jackson owns the copyrights to the Beatles?
Well, it doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't make any... there isn't anything wrong with it either. The only reason it looks odd at all is that most people aren't aware that anyone owns the rights to anyone's music, that an individual would own rights. We always think of it something as either that the writer owns or that some company owns, but we forget that they're often owned by individuals. And it just looks a little strange to us when we see a writer owning another writer's works. In fact, sometimes that's an ideal situation. Frank Lesser, one of the reasons Frank Lesser was a great publisher is that he was a great writer, and he thoroughly respected what songwriting was and who songwriters were, and he treated them in a way that no corporation that wasn't controlled by songwriters was ever going to treat them.
So who did Frank Lesser publish besides himself?
Mainly Meredith Willson.
Who wrote The Music Man.
Who wrote The Music Man and The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Richard Adler and Jerry Ross, who wrote The Pajama Game and Damn Yankees, and Robert Wright and George Forrest, who wrote Kismet. And they also wrote Song of Norway, but that was before their association with Frank Lesser. And he not only represented them, with all of those writers, he was a very important part of the work they did on their productions. One of the things he had a knack for was working with writers who were basically pop music writers and showing them what was possible in the world of musical theater. Adler and Ross were not theater composers before they met Frank Lesser. Mm-hmm. Meredith Willson was not. He'd had a long and distinguished career as a radio performer. He was at one time did comedy on the Burns and Allen show on the radio. He also was the orchestra leader for radio for many years, as well as a popular songwriter, and had not written a musical in all of those years, but had, of course, an enormous amount of trunk material that was ready for someone to come along and give him an idea of how to structure it. And you can see what came of that, one of the greatest musicals in our history.
So you handle the copyrights now on Frank Lesser's music. What's happening to those copyrights now that Most Happy Fella is being performed again? Guys and Dolls is back on Broadway. There's a revival in the works for How to Succeed. How is that affecting you?
Well, the main way it's affecting us is that we're very busy. This is a very exciting period for us.
Busy doing what?
Once a show is on Broadway, every other kind of activity turns up for the songs in that score and also for the other songs by the same writer. We suddenly get calls from television producers, film producers, people are putting together television commercials, people who are putting together books on musical theater and want to quote from the songs as examples of the best kind of theater writing. It creates activity in every area of popular music.
So what do? You just figure out how much to charge them or whether they can use it or not?
Well, how much to charge them is an important consideration, but just as important is the way the material is going to be used. Mm-hmm. It isn't valuable to charge someone a large amount of money for a use of the song that doesn't serve the song and doesn't honor the writer's intentions and doesn't help to bring that song to the public in a way that is going to make the song appreciated both now and in the future. One of the things that makes music publishing different than a lot of other industries is that you have to constantly be looking at the future when you license the song, because it's very easy to overexpose a song or to have it used in a way that changes the public's perception of it. For example, a bad TV commercial use of a song can make that song unusable for anything else, because that particular image will always be in the audience's mind when they hear the song.
Of all the cast recordings of Guys and Dolls, the original show, the movie, the new Broadway revival, do you have a favorite?
Well, I don't think there's anything odd about saying that the favorite for me will always be the original cast album. And that takes away nothing from any other version that's been done, including the current revival, which we all know is very exciting. But there's a combination of things there. One is that that's the version we've learned, and another is that's the version that Lesser supervised. I also am a little out of the ordinary in thinking that the film version is a perfectly legitimate version also. That's not the popular opinion, but actually I think that with some questionable casting choices, it's actually a very well put together film.
Joseph Weiss, thank you very much, and thank you for commercially releasing these recordings.
Thank you.
Joseph Weiss produced the new CD, An Evening with Frank Lesser, on the DRG label.